Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
So great to be with you. Good morning, everybody. You can take your seats. Wow, how do I follow that kind of introduction? My goodness, it's lovely when somebody researches a bio. But we're not here this morning because of degrees or credentials or smarts or any of that stuff. We are here to open the Word of God together. The Bible says about itself that all Scripture is inspired by God, 2 Timothy 3:16, and is useful, it's profitable for doctrine, for correcting, for reproving, for training in righteousness so that people of God can be fully equipped. I want us to be fully equipped this morning. The Bible says of itself in Hebrews that the Word of God is living and active. It's alive today. And it works today. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's so sharp that it can even sort out the things in your mind. It's like, I don't know if I'm hearing from God or if that's my own emotions, but the Word of God is so sharp that it can do that. So Holy Spirit, we come under your Word today. We want to hear from you. Would you speak to us as we share your Word together in Jesus' name? Amen. I want to get into this, but I do want to honour Pastor Ken and Chrissy and thank you for your faith in me and in Planet Shakers. Thank you for this opportunity. I don't take it lightly. We bring our greetings from Planet Shakers, from Pastor Russell and Sam. And I was going to say, my wife is praying for us. And then I thought, that doesn't mean a scrap to these people, but it means a lot to me. We have the prayer of agreement from my wife today, and it's powerful. Okay. Let's read together Matthew 8, and I'm reading from verse 5. And it says this, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, what a great thing to say. Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, there it is again. I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done according to your faith, or just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. I want to preach a message this morning entitled Great Faith. See, I believe in these times, God is calling us to be people of great faith. God is looking for people of great faith. And, you know, there are degrees of faith. Some people, there's no faith, there's some faith, there's a little faith. But I don't want to be a no faith person, I want to be a great faith person. Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 14:30, when Peter's sinking beneath the waves, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus says to the disciples in Luke 8:25, where is your faith? He couldn't find it. So little there that he couldn't find it. Mark 6:6, he searched everywhere in his hometown, and it says he marveled. He was so amazed because there was no faith. He marveled at their unbelief. I praise God that we are not in an unbelieving church today. This is a great faith church, not a little faith church, not a some faith church, not a where is your faith church, not a oh my goodness, I can't find the faith church. This is a great faith church. Can somebody say amen? So I wonder, as I look at this passage, there's a few things for us to see. And I hope it's okay. We're just going to dwell in this passage a little bit. I want to kind of dig down and dig down a little bit more and dig down a little bit more, and let's just draw out of this. Holy Spirit, would you help us as we draw out of your word today? Why is he called a person of great faith? Like, what's great about this? I'm thinking of three greats, and I'm sorry, it's like a 30-something, they gave me the time frame. Usually we focus on 3 points, because we can't say them quicker than about 10 minutes, so I will admit that I'm going to be roughly doing that. I'm looking at three greats, okay? But the first great is, there's great humility here. There's great humility. This man is a Roman centurion, which means he's a somebody. And I love that he comes to Jesus and calls him Lord, and he's right to call him Lord, by the way. But the Greek word for Lord is the word Kyrios, and Dominus is the Latin way of saying it. You could say either, but this guy is used to actually being called Lord, not to calling Jewish itinerant preachers Lord. Now, as a Roman centurion, and we'll probably get to this, but now's as good a time as any, like, he has a Lord. There's somebody in his life who he calls Lord, but it's not Jesus. It's Caesar. There's a counterclaim in the Roman Empire at this time, and it is Caesar is Lord. The definition of a Christian in the first century is Jesus is Lord, but Rome already has a Lord, and that's Caesar. So it is remarkable that this man comes to him and he calls him Lord. I would almost imagine that it'd be like a Lord, because he doesn't want anybody else to see who he's calling Lord, but he doesn't do that. There's great humility. He recognizes that Jesus has the answer. And I don't know, you know when you get to the end of yourself and you're just like, I just can't do this. I'm at the end. I'm a dad. I'm a middle-aged dad. I looked forward to this for many, many years, but we had sons first. But now, and for the last few years, I have had a teenage daughter. And in a couple of years, I'll have two teenage daughters. So yes, we have a lot of kids. There's three sons, and they're getting older. They're adults, and I have two daughters. Anyway, I've been looking forward to, for a long time, having a teenage daughter. Because I've heard about teenage daughters. Anyway, I have this jacket. I didn't bring it because I didn't think I'd need a jacket in Perth. Because I'm usually warmer here than I am in Melbourne. It's kind of one of those Melbourne jackets, you know, one of those, like a parka, but it's thin, like people wear them in Melbourne because we get cold. But it's green. It's bright green, like Kermit the Frog green. And there is no universe in which that's stylish. There are very few universes in which I should be wearing that. And for that reason, I love to wear it. I love to wear it. I can't wear it to church because Planet Shakers is kind of a cool culture. And those of us who don't get cool and have never been cool, we get a little bit intimidated by that culture. We ask those around us. We look at the shoes people are wearing. So, should I wear those? Does a bloke my age wear those shoes? I don't know. But when I'm on my day off, there's nothing I like better than dropping my kids off at school wearing this bright green jacket. My kids got it for me from the op shop because somebody else had a clue and put it where it belongs. They threw it into one of those bins, you know. It's like, not in this lifetime, Dad. There's no way a bloke like you should not wear something like that. Now, my kids, they think they're educating me, but the more they say you shouldn't wear it, what they don't realise is, that's the reason I want to wear it. It's like, she even said to me one time at school, are you seriously wearing that to drop me off? And it's like fuel for middle-aged dads, right? Some of us know what I'm talking about. The rest of you just roll your eyes. But that's fuel for us, right? We're like, yeah, right? Because I can and I shall. So anyway, I have this green jacket. And she said to me once, and she reminds me because I've used this as an illustration before. She's only ever said it once. She's not this kind of a teenager. She loves God. She's very respectful. But anyway. She did say once, Dad, I can't with you. I just can't. Don't you love that? I can't even. It's like, I am so incredulous at your lack of style that I can't even finish the clause, let alone the sentence, you know? It's like, I can't. And perversely, it's stuck in my mind and I'm like, what a great place to be. I can't. I just can't. I can't even. Did you know the definition of a miracle in the New Testament? It's that word, dunamis, that we talk about in the power message, but it's the same word for miracle. And dunamai as a verb simply means I can. Why? Because God can when we can't. And here's the point. It might be hard for you, it might be too hard for you, but when it's too hard for you, there's nothing that's too hard for Him, because everything's easy for Him, everything's an I can. But here's the deal. There's grounds for a miracle if you can't. And here's wisdom. You just need to reach that point. Learn from the teenage girls in your life. We need to reach that point a little bit earlier than we usually do. Just go, Father, I can't. I just can't. I can't even. I can't even with this situation. But I know that you can. And I love... Thank you. I thought it was worth it for the green jacket. That's the only utility of the green jacket in my wardrobe, in my life, in my stories. But I can't. I can't even. I just can't. And you know what? That's wisdom. In everything that you and I do for Him, we need to recognize. We need to recognize soon. I can't. I can't pay my mortgage. I just can't. I can't even do that. And if you can, well, I don't know, get a bigger one. We're Pentecostals, right? We know how to believe God for more. And after a full week of negotiating backwards and forwards with the senior pastor's office here with notes for tonight's service, I'm still 50-50 about what to preach tonight, and I might just be preaching about there's more. There's always more. I don't know. I had another message lined up to preach, but I can't. He says, he comes to Jesus with great humility and he says, I can't. I'm at the end of myself with this situation. Now, there's many things that he could as a Roman centurion, but he recognized this one thing, I can't. I do not have the authority over sickness, but I note in you somebody who does. He says, I can't, but I know you can. That's why we refer to dunamis as ability, efficiency, might. Yes, it's the power of God, but God's power seems terribly powerful for us, but it's very easy for Him. It's just like the flick of a switch for Him. He's like, well, yes, I will. Somebody comes to Jesus and says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Remember the leper? Jesus says, oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, let me teach you some theology. I'm not only able, I am willing. He says, I am willing. I do want to, as it happens, be clean. And the guy is cleansed. It's great humility for a centurion who's used to being called Lord, who has a Lord that he calls upon, a name that he invokes. It's great humility for that centurion to come to Jesus and to call him Lord. Yeah. It's not just that. The centurion replies, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Now, I love the tract thing that Pastor Shannon said, and I'm backstage there and I'm like, why do we call it a tract? And then your worship leader, God bless her, was there and Googled it for me, so I didn't jam my brain because I'm like... Why do we? Tracto, I draw. It's drawn out. You're welcome, by the way. That was her, not me. Oh, like, I didn't know. But that's why. But look at the prepositions here. You know the prepositions are? They're position words. Under, over, they're good words. He says, I do not deserve to have you come under me. You get that? So this is a guy who says, I am under authority. I know what it's like to be under. He never uses over, by the way. I love that. He never uses over. He's stuck on under, right? He says, I'm under authority. I have soldiers under me, right? And I do not deserve to come to have you come under me. So I'm coming under you. I'm calling you Lord. Because what you're under is what you receive from, right? May I just press this bit on a Sunday morning? Because we're local church people, right? We get this. You and I both know, and if you don't, you will in 15 years' time. If you're brand new, you will know this in 15 years' time, but you've got to take it on faith this morning. And that is, there is great blessing in remaining planted, in coming under and being planted. It's not, they're not normal 21st century things to do, but they're spiritual things to do. They're things that the Word of God commends and commands of Christians. And I'm telling you, there is great blessing in coming under. There's great blessing in giving to another human being, yes, a fallen human being, because there are only those kinds at the moment. There's great blessing in giving to another human being the authority over your life to correct you for your decisions. Have you ever done that? Do you know the blessing of walking in that? I myself am a man under authority. Well, even I get an invitation, come to Nations Church, and I think, Nations Church is awesome. I want to do that. I'm looking forward to doing that. But what's the first thing I do? I go to my authority. That's what I said this morning. Pastor Russell and Sam, bless you. Why? Because I'm standing here because they sent me. That's how it works. I don't go and I say, hey, I'm doing this, just letting you know. I say, may I do this? What do you think? That's what authority in your life looks like. I don't know why I'm going this direction today. I was going to head out of this and head into the other greats, but this is also great. There's great humility. And see, we want to be great faith people. Like I say, I've got young adults in my household and I've got teenagers. And I'm telling you, I remember learning this as a young adult and now I'm teaching it to young adults as a father. And see, young adults in particular strike this hurdle. And the hurdle is, but I know better. I disagree. And here's the thing. Submission is only tested when you disagree. You can say, oh, I'm a very humble person. I'm a very submitted person. I get this principle in my life. But if the first time you disagree, you flip the bird and go, well, I'm going to get a better authority over my life, then can I suggest to you, you never really got it in the first place. I feel like I'm going hard on the 8:30 service. That was not my heart. Pastor Ken, you can tidy this up. Actually, I think he's gone to another camp. But Pastor Ken can tidy this up. This is a loving church. It's a family church. Trust the guests to come and give you the hard word, okay? But I'm just letting you know. He calls him Lord. He comes under his authority. And he says, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve to have you come under my roof because I get authority. We better move on. So he has great humility. But he has, I love this, he has great simplicity. He knows I can't. He knows he can. And he just says to him, you don't even need to come. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Just say the word. Just flick the switch. Nothing's too difficult for you. Just say the word. Did you know, and I don't know why I'm going here, but did you know that if you said to me, can I borrow $100? I'd like to think I'd say, maybe I wouldn't say, but let's just say for the sake, rhetorically, right? For the sake of the illustration, I might say, I'll give it to you. If you said, can I borrow $1,000? I'd like to think I'd be good for that. I'd have to figure out where it's coming from at different parts in the cycle. I mean, that's what it's like in family life. We've got a lot of kids, like I said. If you said to me, can I borrow $10,000? How many know that's harder? Like that's a lot harder. As a matter of fact, this is how maths works. It's 10 times harder for me to find 10,000 than it is to find 1,000. But God is omnipotent. Nothing is too difficult for him. There are no degrees of difficulty for God. You know, in the Olympic Games, they're like, that dive was magnificent, but it was easy, so we're giving it a poor score. Like he just kind of fell off and went in without a splash. But if you did 6 somersaults, that's really hard. So even though you splashed, like there's no degrees of difficulty with God. So if we go to him with our need, we get to the end of ourselves. Can I counsel you to get there quickly, because you don't extend as far as you think. We get to the end of ourselves. We say, I just can't. And I'm believing you for a miracle, God. I just believe there's miracles today. I really do. I think that's why I'm preaching this. I hope that's why I'm preaching this. But I think the power of the Lord is present to heal the sick today. And there are people that are at the end of themselves. But you know what? There's no degrees of difficulty. If I say to God, God, I need $1,000. He says, I am willing. Receive. And I'm not talking about selfish motivation. You know how this works. We're prosperity, but we're not prosperity preachers. Kind of. You know the deal. Prosperity's in the Bible. Okay. We don't need to have that conversation. If I say, but my need is $10,000. It's the same. It's the same faith, because it's the same God for whom nothing is too difficult. There are no degrees of difficulty. It's just another zero. Our maths doesn't math for him. It doesn't work that way. He says, yes, yeah, no problem, because that's something that I gave you to do, and I can see that you don't have the resource. God's will, God's bill, as we used to say when I was younger. Sounds a little bit crass, but this is the simplicity that I'm talking about. He had great humility. He had great simplicity. But there's a great truth here that I want to show you, that I want to lean in to a little bit. And I love this. He says, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. You should come under me. He said, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. This is a man who understands the difference between power and authority. You and I haven't always understood the difference between power and authority, because sometimes the expression of power and authority looks the same. Even in the church sometimes, you're like, oh, I've got great authority. And actually it's not. It's just power. There's no spiritual authority. There's a difference between power and authority. If I went out to the road out there, I can't stop a car. But if I come under like one of those hats that the police wear, the chances are I can, right? Because I just walk out and I get, and then they know. It's not my power that they're respecting. It's the authority that I come under. You understand? So there's a difference between power and authority. Now power is kind of more physical. Authority is more spiritual. Power can be limited by physical circumstances. Authority is not so, right? Maybe, hypothetically, I don't know. If I was strong enough, maybe I could stop a really little car that was going really slowly under gravity alone on a very small slope. I don't know. But it would reach the point very quickly where I can't stop that with power alone. Why? There's a limitation in that situation. But authority is not so. Power is about who I'm over. Authority is about who I'm under. Right, so I think there's a great truth here. Now you got the three greats. Are we good? Yep. Okay. Now that I think there's a great truth here, because he understands the difference between power and authority. So this is how it works. This is what he's actually saying to Jesus. He's saying, "I myself am a man under authority." He doesn't say, "I myself am over 100 soldiers." Do you understand etymology, Jesus? No, he doesn't say that. That's what centurion means. He doesn't point to who he's over first. He points to who he's under first. Because his authority does not rely on the power of those 100 soldiers. They could be overwhelmed by a greater force. But his authority relies on the name that's above his name. It's the name of the Caesar, the one that he calls Lord. I hope you can start connecting dots and see where we're going with this. So he says, I myself am a man under authority and I have soldiers under me. Therefore, when I say go, he goes. When I say come, he comes. When I say do this, the servant does it, which means all you need to do, what's he saying to Jesus? I recognize in you a man under authority. Now, he doesn't carry full revelation of the orthodox Christology. Jesus is fully God, he's voluntarily limited in the incarnation. All of that stuff, he's going to leave till he gets to Bible college. But what he sees in Jesus is there is an authority at work in your life. You stand as a man under the all authority of the kingdom of heaven, which means if you just say the word, then my whole situation can shift. Why? How does he know that? Because he does it. He's done it. He can say the word and shift a situation as a centurion. He'll say, we're going here, we're attacking this, we're guarding that, we're sorting out that person, we're protecting these people or whatever. That's what centurions do. They're under command and they, because of the command they're under, they also command. It's a great truth. And what I want to show you is, he's actually doing it right now. I hadn't seen this until I saw it, but when I saw it, I couldn't unsee it. And I want to show it to you today. If we could put the slide up. And I want to thank the senior pastor's office for the faithfulness. Jess has been chasing me all week. Give us your notes, give us your PowerPoints and whatever. And I gave her one PowerPoint. I'm so sorry. So this better be good. And it's just the Bible and it's got lots of words on it. College knows what this is about. But here you can see the story in Matthew that we've just read and the story in Luke that we're about to read. I want you to compare and contrast. It's a little game we call compare and contrast. Are we good? I'm going to read this side and you can read along with me. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. Check. There a centurion servant whom his master valued highly was sick and about to die. Check. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his student. Ooh, that's interesting. Matthew says he went. Luke says he sent. Can we keep reading? When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. Note the words that are not recorded in Matthew's gospel. They pleaded earnestly. This man deserves to have you do this. He loves our nation. He's built our synagogue. So, I'm sorry for that word. It's wrong. It's but. But Jesus went with them. Jesus went with them not because of their justifications. He went with them in spite of their justifications. So Jesus went with them and he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't. This conversation takes place in two stages and Jesus and the centurion never meet. You look at going, well, why'd we start with Matthew for then? No, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful. This comparison that we're seeing is supposed to be seen. Here's what I want to suggest. This is what's happening. This is what heaven sees. This is what the circumstances you would have seen if you were observing the situation on earth. This represents the flow of authority. This represents the logistics of the situation. So, Jesus has a conversation with the centurion if he was present, but the centurion isn't present. He's having a conversation with people who have heard the word of the centurion in the presence of the centurion and have been sent from the centurion in the name of the centurion, which means they carry the authority of the centurion. Are you with me? They've heard the word in the presence and they're sent in his name, and because of that, they carry his authority. And what that means is, when Jesus is talking to these people, it is as if he were talking to the centurion himself. He's having a personal conversation with this guy, with one caveat. When they say words that they haven't heard from the centurion, when they say words that they haven't heard from the centurion in the presence of the centurion, they're not speaking in the name of the centurion, and these words carry no authority. Can you see the words? Oh, this man is awesome. He deserves to have you do this. He's built our synagogue. He loves our nation. What does heaven hear? None of that. My servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. That's the words that the centurion dispatched these guys to deliver to Jesus. And that's what Jesus hears. That's the words he goes in response to. You want to know why this guy's got such great faith? Because he carries great revelation about a great truth. He actually understands and he is enacting for us the position of prayer. And actually, he's showing us the other side of prayer. But for us, the revelation is simply in this. Can I talk about the name of Jesus a little bit? Maybe it's time for the band to come back. When we hear the words of Jesus in the presence of Jesus and we are sent by Jesus in the name of Jesus and we declare those words carry the authority of Jesus. it was as if Jesus himself were speaking to the situation or to the person that we are speaking to. Is that okay? You with me so far? Because sometimes the name of Jesus for us is like the "yours sincerely" on the end of the prayer. And I think the 8:30 service, probably more than other services today, are going to get "yours sincerely" because it's something we used to say when we wrote letters and even when we migrated to emails, but it's not said anymore. We might say "cheers" now or "TQ" or nothing at all, and it might come on a text message. But sometimes we just append this to the end of our prayers, don't we? We say, "oh, in the name of Jesus, amen," as if that's the normal way to finish a prayer. But I want to encourage you, it's the normal way to finish a prayer because it carries great revelation about the situation. And I also want to show you this. When we speak in the name of Jesus, we don't just speak to God in the name of Jesus. We speak to situations in the name of Jesus. Now let's come back to the Bible college class the centurion hadn't yet been to. Jesus Christ in the incarnation, fully God. Everything that it means to be God, Jesus is. Fully man, everything that it means to be human. Just like you and I, the Bible says, except in one respect, because it's not really human. Sin. Jesus never sinned, but in every other respect, he knew the human experience. So Jesus is called mediator because he stands between God and man. Jesus is called mediator of a better covenant because God knows that in order for covenant to be kept, listen to me here, he has to put himself on both sides of the covenant. God's a covenant-keeping God, but knows that humanity, he is faithful, but he knows that humanity is faithless. So God comes in the person of Christ. God comes as a man so that he can stand in Christ on both sides of the covenant so that he can be sure that the covenant would be kept. And I want to tell you, we don't just speak to God in prayer and say in the name of Jesus. We speak to situations that need to shift in the name of Jesus. And I just want to encourage you, church, your words carry great authority. You say, "I don't have a lot of power." And that is true. But Jesus said, "all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go, I am sending you." Which means that Jesus will never meet personally the situations and the people that he commissions you and I to meet on his behalf. He is remaining in the house, but he has sent us to carry his message. And this is how that works. We need to be people of his presence because when we receive the word of our Lord in the presence of the one that we call Lord, and we're sent and we are by our Lord in the name of our Lord, we carry the authority of the Lord. And I want to tell you, power is limited, but authority is not limited, especially the authority of the one who says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So I just want to stir great faith in a great faith congregation to say and let you know, there's no situation that you face that a word from Jesus cannot shift. There is no circumstance, there's nothing that's too broken in your life that it can't be redeemed by a word from Jesus. And here's the deal. The words have already been spoken. You and I, as people of the word, need to be people of his presence. This morning, some of you are going to get a word. And maybe you've already got a word when I'm sharing the word. But you're going to get a word, not because I say the word, but because the Holy Spirit breathes the word into your heart. You're going to get a word that's a key for a situation. And you're going to turn up to that situation and make sure you faithfully declare the words of your Lord that you heard in the presence of your Lord. And I just want to encourage you that when you do so, you will carry the authority of your Lord and nothing is too difficult for him.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.